Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. My name is Paul slash Viv Graham, aka Daxter23 Jack, and today I am joined by Ben, aka BJK394.
Hey.
We are also joined by Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hiya.
Grace, aka I always forget what your current username is.
Yeah, because I change it all the time. So by the time you remember it, I'll change it again. So it doesn't matter.
Okay. Hobbyously, aka Hobby.
What's up?
And last but not least, Chris, aka Kriya9.
Hey.
And today we are going to be talking about the game we chose during our last episode, Crow County, from the
Country.
developers of. Oh. Did I say is it? Oh, I thought it was
Country.
county. Oh, okay. I thought it was like Crow County, as in like. Okay.
What game did you play?
It was a management sim.
That's right.
Okay. No, but yes, Crow Country. My apologies from the developers of Snipper Clips on the Nintendo Switch. It came out this earlier this year, and yeah, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the game. But yeah, before we get into our thoughts on it, does anybody want to give like a story synopsis?
I could try.
I think you were the last one to finish the game, so go
Yeah,
ahead.
I finished it yesterday. So,
So did I.
somebody she goes to this theme park called, I think it's called Crow Country, looking for the owner. She's posing as a detective. I guess we can get into that because I did not see that she was posing as one for maybe a little too long. She's looking for the owner of the place, doing an investigation on him, and the place is overrun with like these weird monstery things. And yeah, she has to go through the theme park to ultimately find him and resolve her main issue. So.
That pretty much hits the nail on the head. Yeah. Agent, Special Agent Mara Forrest, who doesn't know anything about guns despite being a firearms expert and is not allowed to smoke. She is
True.
also significantly shorter than a lot of the people you encounter in the game. And you
And
can
her
see the
hair is
Lore.
purple.
Yeah, you can see the
But
L'Oreal hair dye thing in the back of the car.
yeah.
Yeah, no,
It took me way too long to catch on that she was just she's just like a 17-year-old kid.
I don't think even 17. I think she's like 16.
Okay.
No,
Or no. She was
I think this is
15
right.
when the incident happened, and then like 2 years have passed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
Spoilers.
It took me. Oh, come on. They talk about the incident all the time, and like as you're going through the different various different parts of the theme park. So I don't feel like that's too much of a spoiler, but yes, we will be discussing
Her reveal
spoilers.
is definitely a spoiler from pretty late game, as far as the explicit, like, here's who she is.
Yeah, like it comes pretty late, like, but they are like making commentary, like, aren't you like you look a little young to be a detective. You're a little short to be a detective. I was like, what does this matter? Like, oh, she's like 20 something. Like, who cares? Like, she's a rookie detective. Who gives a shit? She has purple hair. I don't care. She drove here.
These are all clues
I've played
about the
Japanese
truth.
games before. Like, the purple hair didn't mean anything. It was
Right.
actually a little weird when they were like commenting on it again, pretty late game, where it's like, didn't I just meet you? Like, why are you saying this shit?
I didn't realize this was the Snipper Clips team. I liked Snipper Clips a lot. So this is a big
Yeah, I was
departure.
kind of surprised to hear that. That yeah, definitely a huge change in genre.
Yeah.
Unless Snipper Clips was a surprise horror game like Doki Doki Literature Club.
No, not at all.
But in my personal opinion, sorry for cutting off, Javi. I really enjoyed the story for this game. I felt like it was, I don't know, pretty engaging for me. I'm usually not into horror games, but I was able to really get into this. So, to the point where I completed the game twice and platinumed the game.
Wow, that's awesome.
Why twice? Is that one of the requirements for the platinum?
In order to get S rank, you need to use under a certain number of healing items. So I needed to go back through, and fortunately they added some replay value with the crystal crows, which are like these hidden collectibles located in practically every room in the park.
And they're when you play a second time, right?
It unlocks.
I just missed them completely.
They were so well hidden, you missed them completely. No, it only unlocks after you've been in the game for the first time. Cool. So, yeah, no, it's a good. I think it's about like a 5-6 hour game, so it's pretty short. So replaying it wasn't too much of a hassle. I just put on some.
If you're not stupid, is sort of the caveat for that initial like play time of the game. It's just like, if these puzzles don't kick your ass, you'll get through it pretty fast. I did not get through it very fast.
Okay. There are some puzzles obtuse.
We'll get to that. I mean, you didn't solve the mushroom puzzle on your first try?
Mushroom puzzle? Which one's the mushroom puzzle?
Mushroom king, and you have to eat the various mushrooms.
Do you need to do that? Or is that
no,
that's just
but
first
it,
secret?
It gets you a handgun upgrade. So I did it just to get that primarily, but you can still get an S rank while skipping that puzzle in particular, which is what I did for the second time around.
I ate the good mushrooms, then nothing happened, so I left the room.
Yeah, no, you figured out the puzzle, but you're supposed to poison yourself so you can make the mushroom monarch happy.
If you eat all the mushrooms, you can talk to the mushroom king, and he gives you like a secret upgrade for, I think it's for your handgun.
Yep.
But how's that a puzzle you could figure out? Are there hints that like he just loves poisoning people?
No, there's just like the quote unquote hints in the room are honestly kind of misleading. You've got like, what is it? One of the directors being like, please do not eat all the mushrooms. And it's just like, reverse psychology.
But they say that about most of the things. Like, most of those memos are just like, hey, guys, this stuff can be dangerous. Like, just don't. Which, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. And in this, like, park where there's employees and stuff, it's like, yep, just like, don't do the unsafe thing. So it's not, I don't know. I wouldn't have ever looked at that as like, yeah, okay, let me go eat all the mushrooms, especially the three they explicitly say are poisonous.
And will harm you.
Yeah, this park in general is an OSHA nightmare. I mean, it's like when you go into the, the horror manor library thing, if you pick up the wrong book, granted they are very obviously labeled, but it like a literal spike goes through your head, and it's honestly a wonder that nobody got killed in this park prior to the incident.
I remember that spike popping up at one point, but I didn't think it actually did any damage to me.
I mean, granted, I was playing on the hardest setting, so maybe that had something to do with it. I was told if I wanted the true survival horror experience to play it on they released it as a DLC after release, but it was the hardest difficulty level. So that's what I did for my first playthrough.
Oh, nice. I played as the developers intended.
Okay, good for you. That's what I did on my second playthrough.
Dax is just like, I go hardcore.
I love that. I love how into it Dax got. It's really cool.
Yeah, I honestly think this is the first horror game I've gotten into in my 30 years on this earth.
I think you should maybe experiment with the old Resident Evils or Silent Hills, because like what I love about Crow Country so much is that it really does distill like classic survival horror into like, it has all the touch points, you know, the puzzles, the enemies, and like the combat's not that, you know, important. I think it's actually a little bit deeper than those games, like with you actually aim and there's actually like critical. But like obviously this game is, you know, an homage to like PS1, like with the graphics. It looks like a Final Fantasy VII kind of vibes.
Oh yeah, definitely. My wife walked in while I was playing the game, and I asked her, "What year do you think this game was released?" And she was like, 1999. So yeah, I feel like they nailed the aesthetic.
The aesthetic's great, but like the game plays incredibly well. Like everything's silky smooth and feels good with the modern control scheme. And I think that like I hope that this game was enough of a success that like they make like two or three more of these, because I think it's just it's a formula that totally works and you could scale up very easily. And these games, I can't imagine, you know, are that expensive to make.
And like just playing it around the time of like Concord coming out and Astrobot coming out, I think it's very interesting because I feel like it takes more of a, you know, smaller Astrobot approach, and that it's not a it probably wasn't a very expensive game to develop, but honestly like a smaller team was able to pump out kind of like an homage, a love letter to like the PS1 classics, and even somebody like me who didn't play those games was able to enjoy it and really get into the story and just the amusement park in general.
Go ahead, Avi. I was just gonna say that they really nailed it across like the way the game looks, and mostly also how it sounds, like the like room tones and the creepy music, and even just like the sound effects of the HUD and all that. Like that's all classic survival horror, and it sets the mood right. And like this game is a really like satisfying, creepy experience that also it's the right length. Like I like that you felt like it wasn't like you were comfortable with like, let's run it again, let's get that 100%, because a lot of these classic horror games, if you have done them before and you know kind of what needs to be done, you can kind of knock them out in a few hours, like maybe 2 or 3 hours. And so I think they really nailed that. They created a perfect classic survival horror game.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, just in general, I mean, granted, it's not like, you know, the story isn't going to win any, like, narrative awards at, you know, well, not that Geoff Keighley's video game awards would even award an indie title like this, but, you know, like the, what is it, the BAFTAs or whatever? The various award ceremonies. I don't think it's going to be rewarded, but I really enjoyed the narrative. I felt like you had a small cast of characters, and when you did actually run into said characters in the environment, you're just like, oh cool, there's Crow's daughter, or there's the police dude whose tires I slashed and tried everything I possibly could to prevent him from coming to this place. Yeah, I mean, like, what did the rest of y'all think about the narrative? I kind of enjoyed the twist at the end.
Yeah, that twist was good.
Yeah.
What was that, Ben?
Go ahead.
The twist was definitely something I didn't really see coming. I guess I figured this game would be some sort of like weird supernatural thing, but it was like some weird sci-fi thing. Like I guess as far as the twist is like people were coming through a teleporter and it was like messing them up, like in The Fly or something. I guess that's sort of what is creating all the monsters. Like that was a pretty clever twist on like a, you know, what they could have just done, like, you know, basic zombie or whatever. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the writing was literally on the wall throughout the entire game. We kept, yeah, just in blood, 2106, 2106, and you'd find memos being like, that is none of our codes at all. So I feel like if I was smarter, I would have been able to put together the pieces a lot sooner.
It's very original Resident Evil-ish in that, where, you know, in that game you had the zombie outbreak and, like, you don't really know what's going on, but then you find out, like, the whole underside of the mansion there is this big lab where they've been doing experiments on people and creatures and kind of similar here, where, you know, some nefarious shit's going on behind the scenes. And it's there's a scientific fictional reason for it.
Yeah, almost every Resident Evil has, like, the setting where it's like a police station or a mansion or what have you, and then there you go down and there's usually a lab underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, did anybody else have any particular notes about the narrative, the story? I felt like it was serviceable. I really enjoyed it, but I could see how it could be maybe lacking, not enough for other people. So,
I mean, games like these, I'm not like, and most video games, to be honest, I'm not like, oh man, the story better blow me away. Where, you know, but like, I appreciated what was here. I like that it, you know, it was a constant kind of thing, like you said, where they're bringing up how young you look and bringing up your hair, and like, it all built up to, like, the big reveal that you are in fact the victim that shut the park down and you came back. And I think that's pretty cool. That's good. That's good enough. And I think that the game was built really well with its notes that, like, I was going to say reward you, but it's more like a requirement, like, to read through those notes to understand where to go next, or like to trigger a certain thing. Like, some of the stuff is pretty obscure, and if you're not reading the notes, I don't know if you're going to be able to progress. But that was all really, I guess, well crafted and rewarding. To, like, you pay attention, and you're always going to have, like, a sense of where you want to go next, where you need to go next, and what you need to check out. In that sense, it really captured the whole, like, you're a detective here, right? So yeah, no, I think the story is solid. I think it's better than most Resident Evil games, and I love Resident Evil, but, like, the story is not usually the priority.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree, I think, for the most part, in that I dug the narrative. That it was good that they had enough going on to sort of keep you propelling forward as you're finding out more about what's going on, and like, you know, in between solving puzzles as you get to new areas, that, you know, they feed you a little bit more of that narrative. Those notes give you a little bit more context of what's happening around these areas you're in, or these people you're interacting with. I think for me, the only bit that I sort of didn't quite buy into was the writing for Mara, like, throughout the game, because they're doing that sort of subterfuge with who she actually is. Like, her internal, like, monologuing doesn't quite, like, square with why she's there. I think that's my only, like, sort of issue with that framing of everything.
Yeah, it's almost like she's hiding it from us as a player.
Like, yeah,
what her intentions are, which is maybe a little weird.
Yeah, but I feel like there's enough, like, there's a breadcrumb trail. Like, at the beginning, she's just like, if anybody asks, my name's Mara Forrest. She's, you know, like, trying to get into the role. She's trying to, like, be like, okay, I can't give my I can't give myself away. That sort of thing. But yeah, I think her writing is done partially to kind of mislead the player, but then there's also all sorts of hints, like, oh, I'm not allowed to smoke, or, you know, just stuff like that. I feel like they include enough to be like, oh, she's an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, so it was right. Like those bits were just so in conflict with each other that I honestly thought it was going to go more of a Silent Hill route of like, there was something sort of like what Ben was talking about. Like there's something a little bit more supernatural going on, and maybe you yourself as the protagonist, like, yes, you aren't who you're purporting yourself to be, but in a more like, this is a hell sort of way, or you're like not there anymore sort of way, you know, or something's off. You've already gone through this portal, like you've already changed more than just getting infected with this bacteria. Like I thought there'd be a little, I guess, just a little bit more in that realm for to really sort of explain like that disconnect of why you it seems like they're presenting you as somebody else entirely.
Okay, yeah, I think I get where you're coming from there. I guess. I don't know. I, as somebody who never played the Silent Hill, games, maybe that I'm kind of glad they just went in kind of a different direction on that front, because I mean, Silent Hill is really really interesting, but yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from, Marcus, but I kind of like the sci-fi direction they ended up going in.
Maybe next time they'll, if they do another one of these kind of games, they could be more supernatural. I'm not really like, I don't really prefer one or the other. I think that the more supernatural stuff can, I guess, be more, or is usually more cerebral and kind of like, you know, about like the emotions or the character and that kind of thing, which I understand that that's usually more effective for the story side. But, you know, like I said, as a big Resident Evil fan, like that's all just science gone wrong all day. There's not really a lot of supernatural going on.
It's still fun either way.
Yeah, exactly. Like I like either, but I don't necessarily, I wouldn't ding one for not having the other, I guess is what I'm saying.
But Grace, yeah, what did you think about the story?
I mean, there's not really a whole lot that I can say that hasn't already been said. I did enjoy like the twist kind of reveal, because it's like a huge payoff for all the little foreshadowing and all that that they drop in, and you know, you're sitting there after the ending and you're like, oh, you know, now all of this that didn't make sense before, it's all like hitting at once. It's a really satisfying payoff, so I did like that. But yeah, I also kind of agree like with Javi that I don't prefer supernatural or sci-fi. Like one or the other is fine. So I kind of like that they went a sci-fi direction. But I mean, if they had gone more supernatural, that still would have been cool. So, yeah, like I said, nothing that we haven't already said.
And Ben, I think you commented a little, but did you have any thoughts on the story?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I guess it definitely seems like, either intentionally or not, that they were definitely writing a game that came out in the 90s. Like, it's definitely not the most, you know, quippy or well-written thing, like not something that you would expect in a lot of modern stuff. It definitely seems like they kept it simple, like probably on purpose, just to make it seem like it's a game, you know, a game from the 90s, because that's what most 90 games were, just pretty simple and not very, you know, not very complex stories. So I think that a lot of the, you know, simplicity and kind of the writing and all that stuff is intentional on their part as well.
Cool. I will say the one thing I miss from, like, it's something that I really like about Resident Evil and like how it gets you going, and this kind of just throws you right into the game, is that there's kind of like a, you know, cinematic or, you know, story setup for it that is like really cool looking and in Resident Evil games, and in this, just like, all right, we're gonna do a little text scroll for you and throw you into it, and it's like, I wish there was like maybe like a little bit more, like some cool CG or something, just to kind of like get you into that mood of,
yeah,
goofy 90s horror.
I wonder if that came down to that they didn't have Capcom money.
Yeah,
but They maybe could have gotten creative and done like a live action thing and like compressed the hell out of it so it looked like it was PS1.
That would have been awesome, like the original Resident Evil with their horrible. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I want reboot tier CGI movie intro.
In 25 years, you can have it.
No, the cartoon series reboot.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. That would be good. That would have been a really good kind of pairing here.
I hope this game was a hit for them.
Oh, God. That show. Oh, my. Oh, God. Sorry, I'm looking up screenshots. I forgot how bad it looked.
Yeah.
To be fair, back in the day, I feel like our blinders up the quality a bit. We bought into it a little bit more.
We had never seen anything like that, so it was super cool.
Yeah.
I was into Beast Wars, which looked just as bad.
In my mind, it's even better.
It gives off the Canadian Donkey Kong show they made?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's the story / narrative. What did you folks think about the gameplay?
I thought it was great, right? Like the puzzle side, I thought was great. And I think it's like this in a lot of those games. I mean, we saw it even too when we played the RE2 remake of like, yeah, the enemies are just sort of fucking in the way. They're an annoyance most of the time. They're used to make going between the puzzles like not just jaunting back and forth. And then if you get caught with them in like a tight hallway, it's about the resource management of your bullets of like, do I want to deal with this thing now or just try and like get a hit, stun, and then like run around? Like, you know, you sort of have to gauge how well you are at doing these things and what your situation is. I will say, and I know Javi, you mentioned a little bit about this before with the aiming. I suck shit at like aiming in this. It would take me so long to like orient my gun that it felt like a liability more than anything.
Yeah, I felt that way too. But I almost feel like that's by design. Like it actually makes combat a little bit clunkier and riskier, which makes things a little bit less. You feel less empowered, which is a good thing. But I do think though, like it makes the combat more complex and more engaging than, because like in other survival horror games, especially with tank controls, like you hit the aim button, you automatically snap to the enemy and you just start firing. This one's very more like you really gotta line up your shot, and when the second you fire, they're gonna get aggro and start coming at you, so you better get those headshots or whatever their weak point is. So I don't know, and I love the, you have a button, dedicated button to reload. You have a dedicated button to throw like a grenade, like while you're aiming, like all that stuff is like a really nice touch to like build upon like how this works.
And to quickly change your weapon too.
Right.
Just be able to like quickly move to like your shotgun or your magnum or your flamethrower was like really nice.
Yeah. All that stuff like felt, like that was the modern touch kind of peeking in on such a throwback game. And I love that. I think that's really cool. So gameplay wise, I think this game's pretty much perfect. Like it, in the terms of the scope that they're going for, I don't know how they could have nailed it any harder. I think it's great.
Yeah. As far as like the puzzle design, I haven't played a lot of these, old school Resident Evils, but it's so funny how this game and those things are basically built like point and click adventure games. Like it's basically all you're really doing is like, it's all just inventory puzzles. It's like collecting stuff, finding the things you interact with and just solving that, like, and then occasionally fighting some enemy on your way to the next puzzle. Like, I guess that's what I really like about this game, because I didn't really play a lot of these old school horror games back in the day, but I played a ton of point and click stuff. I'm just sort of, you can just kind of play these like that, and that's kind of what I really enjoy about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, like with Dax, I think if you enjoyed this might be your entry point to like give those old games a shot. Like with that in mind, because yeah, like they have all that, and enemies are really just kind of, you know, to make the decision of how to properly use your resources. But like, that's why, like, when Resident Evil like started really going into the action direction, I missed those puzzles, man. I missed like collecting a key item and remembering that there was a room that had something that I didn't understand yet, and I have to like make my way back there, or like really tough puzzles. Silent Hill especially has like, you'll see like a lockbox with a like 3-page poem, and each page has like very important information about how to solve what's in front of you, and you have to just like pore over it and really kind of try to figure it out. And yeah, like Resident Evil finally, like 7 brought a little bit of that back, and then the remakes brought it back as well, and it was like, oh my god, I forgot how much I love this stuff. So yeah,
Sherry's campaign in Resident Evil 6, wasn't that supposed to be puzzle focused?
Oof.
Resident Evil 6 is just an abomination.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Yeah, it's just, it's that whole game just gets me so angry.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think Crow Country captured that, and if you enjoyed that, like all those old games are just like this. Yeah. They're really, really fun.
You guys should definitely give, like, you know, at least the first 3, even Code Veronica, like those Resident Evils, a shot.
Yeah.
The first Silent Hill, and I'd recommend the PlayStation Alone in the Dark game. I think it's like, yeah, New Nightmare or something. Like, those are all like really good adventure games.
The first 3 Silent Hills. I would recommend 4 as well, except for it's so obtuse that it's obnoxious. Yeah.
Obtuse in what sense? I know it's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the the good Silent Hills, I guess, quote unquote. But
yeah, I mean, Silent Hill 4, I would still say is good, but it's obnoxious. Like the mechanics are not explained at all. So like you get thrown back into the room after each section. That's like your apartment. That's like haunted. And then like you'll have ghosts show up and they'll start killing you, and it's never made clear how, like, if you light a candle, it'll
eternal darkness
protect you. Yeah, but it'll protect you only if you're like close to it. And like, there's just a lot of things in Silent Hill 4 that would be progression blockers, or just like affect the ending, or all sorts of stuff like that is like invisible, and you would never know. There's no way to figure that out unless you look it up.
So I guess we've talked a lot, on the subject of puzzles. We kind of touched on the mushroom puzzle, and I think most people can agree that is poorly explained at the very least. But what did you folks think about the rest of the puzzles? I felt like for the most part, I enjoyed the rest of the puzzles. I just, the train puzzle kind of went over my head.
Yeah. Oh, I love that one.
That was the one I couldn't figure out. I think that was the only one I had to look up. Everything else I could figure it out just fine, but that, I never understood the train puzzle.
Yeah, would you mind explaining that to me, Javi? Because I was wondering, like, oh, like you hit the button on each one, and then like 2 train cars go by, and you use that to be like, oh, that would be the caboose, or.
Yeah. So I think it's about cross referencing the set in front of you and then pressing them in the right order. I honestly did the train puzzle so long ago that I couldn't tell you exactly how it works, but I did enjoy it. I'm looking at
Are there multiple train puzzles? Because the one I saw was essentially the first 2 in the room. It's like, it tells you, okay, here's these 2 type of cars in this train. And then in the next one, it was another 2 type of cars, I think with 1 overlap. So you could identify for sure, like, okay, this color was this type of car. And then when you're looking at the 4 train version, you just have to like look at the order that they're all in and assign them to their A, B, C, D proper place in the train. So like it wasn't, if that's the only train puzzle, I thought that one was actually pretty like straightforward once it was like, oh, okay, all the letters like align with the names. Like I think that was sort of the missing link for me when I was looking at that.
Right. Yeah. You read the note that like tells you which person designed each type of train, and then you cross-reference that with the model. Yeah. So I'm looking at the website. It's kind of telling you the way it works. But yeah, basically that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just being a little idiotic when I was doing that. But I think that was the only one I got really frustrated with. The rest were pretty. I felt like you could chew on them, but they weren't like too frustrating. So I felt like they did a good job with designing the puzzles across the board. Just that and the mushroom puzzle weren't explained the best.
Yeah, they were really cool, really fun. Like, I mean, I will admit I did spend time just wandering around trying to figure out what I was supposed to do next, because I would, you know, be missing some key piece of a puzzle, maybe literally a piece, like an inventory item, or just not grasping something. But then, you know, once you figure it out, you have that eureka moment, and it feels great. But especially, like, there's one puzzle kind of close to the end of the game, I think. You're, like, looking at slides where the monsters have, like, numbers assigned to them, and you have to, like, pick out the numbers of a code from there. I was really like writing down the numbers as I went through the slides. Like, when you have to pull out a piece of paper to solve a puzzle, that's like, it's, I don't want to say it's fun. I mean, maybe that's the wrong word, but it's really satisfying to like,
yeah, you know, rewarding.
Have something, yeah, rewarding to be like, okay, you know, I'm punching this in. Okay, here's the solution. Like, it was a lot of work, but I'm giving myself credit for figuring it out. Like, I like that kind of thing. So, I did really enjoy the puzzles, even if I spent some time having to think about them.
Yeah, that particular one you're talking about, I just straight up pulled out my phone and took a picture of each slide so I could reference it as I was like looking at the main thing.
Which I think is absolutely, like, I think that is like the right way to play these kinds of games. Like with the old Silent Hill, some of those puzzles were so tough, or even like the information you need to like figure out what you need to do, even if it's in the room with you, like having to drop out of the item, you know, management thing to like read it all over again is really annoying. So like, it's good to have like a notebook next to you, right? And like, that's kind of the romanticized way to do it. But like, taking pictures with your phone is basically the same thing as drawing something out. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do that a lot now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember, maybe this was just the later Silent Hills, but there was like, they had it so that you could adjust the puzzle difficulty.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's in 2 and 3, I think. I don't know if it's in 1, but
yeah, I think it's okay. I think it starts in 2.
Yeah
no, that I am surprised more games don't use that. But then again,
it's weird,
an easy and a hard version of a puzzle. That's a lot of work. So
yeah, I haven't seen that feature outside of Silent Hill. Like, that's unique to Silent Hill, as far as I know. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea. I always just, it's ridiculous, but yeah, I've been replaying.
Yeah, when I think about the puzzles that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Javi.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've been replaying Silent Hill 2. I want to play through the original before the remake comes out next month.
Do you have faith in Bloober?
I'm aware of Bloober's shortcomings. I played a lot of their games. But I feel like they know that this is important. So I'm kind of rooting for them. They're like the underdogs. And I don't know. I think it's going to be fine. I think the game at minimum is going to be fine. It might surprise us. I don't envy them. I feel like that's a bad position to be in, remaking one of the most beloved games of all time. And honestly, going back and playing the original right now, people put it on a pedestal, and it's great. It's great. It's a great game. I think it's great. But I don't think, even under the best of circumstances, even if it's incredibly faithful, I think whoever remakes this is going to not get the grace that maybe they should when looking at the source material. And it's like, well, if you recreate this exactly as it is, people will be mad. So you're kind of damned either way.
Gotcha. And so with that said, Grace, will you be buying the game?
I mean, will you be giving them grace?
I don't know. What I've seen hasn't instilled a lot of faith, but I'm open to it. I haven't played this original game in a long time, so I should probably do that first at some point. But I'm just kind of like, I'm ambivalent to it. I'm going to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I figured you'd be a day one purchaser. I mean, you are the girl who bought, what was it, DC Superhero Girls day one?
I don't know what that has to do with it, but
you just buy every game, right?
I do buy a lot of games day one, yes. But I guess probably the $70 price point doesn't help, but also just kind of like, I need to see how this shakes out before I make
a decision. That's fair. I wouldn't expect anybody to be like, yes, I'm buying that on day one, unless you're like a diehard Silent Hill or, you know, survival horror fan. Like, it would be strange to, especially knowing that like Bloober Team is inconsistent.
That's the other thing. Like, I do love Resident Evil, Silent Hill, like pretty much any, I don't want to say any survival horror. I haven't played some of them, but I haven't played, like, I can't think of any other games that I've played. So I don't even know like what the deal is, like why people don't like them. So that's kind of the other thing. It's like, I know people don't like them, but I don't know why. So I kind of wanted to see what they can do, like, on their own merit. I'm not going to judge them like prematurely just because they're Bloober Team.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have problems with the medium in particular, kind of how they wrap that game up. A lot of victim blaming stuff.
No, that game has a lot more issues than that one narrative churn near the end. It's mediocre. It has a low ceiling throughout the whole thing. That's the problem I have with Bloober Team, not any sort of narrative choices they're making, especially when it comes to a remake. I don't expect them to screw with the story of Silent Hill 2. I expect them to not deliver on the gameplay moments.
And that's what's interesting to me, though, because Silent Hill 2's gameplay, the original's gameplay, is not good. It never was, you know. And so, I mean, it is what it is. It's a classic survival horror game.
Good enough.
Yeah. And so when that is the concern for this remake, it feels like the bar they have to clear is almost unfair. But, you know, they kind of did this to themselves because they're trying to match it to RE2 remake. And that's a tall order because they're not Capcom. But I don't know. We'll see. I think it'll be fine. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah. I personally like Silent Hill 3 better. So it's kind of like the whole thing about Silent Hill 2 is just like, I love it. I enjoy it. But like, I like 3 better. So then you're looking like, oh, you know, you like Silent Hill 2, are you excited for the remake? I'm like, well, yeah, I like it. And I probably might like the remake, but it's not my favorite Silent Hill game.
Well, and the unfortunate reality is, like, if you want to see Silent Hill 3 remake, this thing needs to succeed.
Yeah, that too.
But it's almost I would say it's like guaranteed. If this game sells well, we're getting a 3 remake. For sure.
They get a 1 remake?
That's the tricky thing.
That's what I think.
You already got Shattered... that. It was Homecoming, right? Or no, you're right. Shattered Memories.
Yeah, Shattered Memories, but it's not really the same.
Yeah, it's more of like a, what would you call it? Like a reinterpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not great. I mean, it's got some interesting stuff. Interesting, like the psychology, the like reacting to the way you play or what you look at. I think that stuff's really neat. Very cool. But the game itself is kind of, like, I don't like that there's no combat whatsoever. Yeah. Like, you just run away. but yeah, I don't know. Silent Hill 1, the original, is my favorite, so I would love an actual full blown remake. Nice.
The opening of that game where I think you like die in an alley.
Yeah.
And I did that like 5 times in a row. Just kept shutting the PlayStation off.
Oh no!
Like, I can do it. Like. It's like, you know, the internet wasn't as ubiquitous. Like, you could not go on YouTube immediately and just be like, what the fuck am I doing wrong?
There was no YouTube.
Yeah, like it just wasn't there. So, and like GameFAQs might have existed. It was at like 90, 99.
Were you like, I don't even want to see the game over.
Yeah, screen. I just like kept hitting reset, like just like because it's like the PlayStation took a while to load, so I was like, I'll just reboot it to get the whole thing going. And like finally, we just kind of let it sit at one point, and it was like, we're idiots. Like,
I played the original, like after 2 and 3. I played it on my PSP Go. My PSP Go, I would have my headphones in and I would just play it in bed in pitch black. And it was so immersive, man.
Awesome.
Like, oh, yeah, I was so into it. I loved it.
But Crow Country.
Yes, Crow Country.
I will say in that game, the puzzles, there were two puzzles that gave me, that like took too long for me. The first was the cemetery where you got to face them the right way. I swore I'd like what that eventual solution was. So I was like, yeah, I did that. That was like one of the 40 setups that I tried. So that was a little bit longer than I would have liked. And then the other one was the fairy with the gold key. I went to the whole like, all right, I got the acid, let's do it. And then they're like, oh, you got to do something else first. And I was like, well, what else would I need to do? I like used the flamethrower on her, thinking like, okay, you know, it's a wooden fairy flamethrower. There we go. I had no idea that it's like, well, what if you just pull your gun out and shoot her in the head?
I didn't try that.
I wasted some flamethrower ammo, definitely. So you're not the only one, Marcus.
I did that pretty much by accident. It was just like, hey, I wonder what happens if I shoot it. That's pretty much how it worked out for me.
I think I did it out of frustration. I'm like, I'm just gonna shoot this bitch. Like, I hate this.
So I don't think you... I thought I did the acid properly, but I clearly did not. And so then I, like, used the flamethrower on it, and I must have had enough fuel that it, like, burned it off. Like, so, yeah, I think there's, like, multiple ways of solving that puzzle.
Yeah, we all came to a different way. I think you don't need the acid at all as long as you get the flamethrower from the train puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you don't even need to go into the underground lab/mining area to get the corrosive acid if you don't want to.
You sure about that? Because I when you destroy your head, it has that like protective coating around the key. That's what the acid dissolves. Yeah, I've seen the flamethrower does that too.
I melted it off. Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, damn.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, with me, I was stupid, and I was just, I forgot to shoot off her head first, so it wasn't working.
Well, like, the game tells you to, like, okay, here's the order of everything. I'm like, okay, cool. I got the acid to get the key, so I just assumed the acid was, like, a prerequisite, since it was in that list of, like, here's the actions you have to take.
Yeah, and there's that one photo of like, oh, they hid the gold key in the fairy statue. So maybe that was supposed to be your clue to be like, oh, you need to take off the head somehow.
I do love that it's like that's just like a classic Resident Evil puzzle. Like, it's so dumb, makes zero sense. Like, why would you hide the gold key in amber under a fairy head in a
yeah.
But like, you just unpeel all the weird layers and there it is.
Yeah, but there's also so many dumb things. It's just like, hey, I'm going to take the first guest up to park level where a teenage girl only has to go, jump behind the scenes of to get the entire park shut down. So, I mean, not everybody was a genius working there.
Well, Mr. Crow got all obsessed with it. I mean, that dude clearly like hadn't been right for the longest time.
Yeah, no, and at the very least, he used his biochemistry degree to redeem himself in the end, somewhat. But yeah,
somewhat. Did he say why he couldn't make more gears?
I think he wanted to die.
I didn't mean for him. I just meant for, you know, anyone else. Just as, you know,
how did he know the one else he know about? How did he know the one guy was going to get knocked off the ledge and die? Like, or the cop was going to die? Like he just like, oh, I have enough for who's left. Like,
yeah, these idiots will probably kill each other, so I'll have enough in the end. Because throughout the entire game, he's just like calling you on random phones, being like, "This is my story.
What you doing? What's up? Glad to see you around." All right, dude. Thanks.
Your daughter got hit by one of the guys. Shit. Hangs up, and it's just like, okay.
Gotta go make another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I really like the shotgun too. I don't. When you finally get that, that is very satisfying.
Where was the Magnum ammo? Because, like, I thought the same color was, like, this is the fake ammo, don't try for this. So, like, I never knew for sure what was fake, so if it was purple, I just stayed away from it.
Did you ever find the hidden map?
For, like, the treasures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, basically a Magnum ammo, you only it's only like the hidden item. So basically it's like, oh, there's one in the witch woods or whatever, and there's one behind a door. You know, it's basically you only get a limited number of Magnum stuff. So you have to go to this specific where the X's are on the map.
I did a couple of those secrets, but it was like, I guess it was just by chance, the ones I was getting, it was, you know, minor gun upgrades. So I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need to fully upgrade all my stuff. I didn't realize that they also had ammo at some of those checks.
Yeah, no, it's very limited, and I saved all of my Magnum ammo for the final boss.
Yeah, I did like half the secrets. Got like one box of Magnum ammo, had like three bullets, never used it.
That's how you play a Resident Evil game. Like, I'm not going to use the cool weapons because I might need it till the end, and then you get to the end and you still don't use it.
Yeah,
exactly. And then you use it on the boss, on the final boss. The shotgun a bunch of times.
Yeah, that was me with the. I don't think I ever used the flamethrower. Because I got the flamethrower and I barely had any gasoline, because you need that for one of the puzzles. You have to use gas to burn some other type of resin. I think
the mask for the witchwood.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I might need the gas for other puzzles, so I have to save that and not use it for ammo. So I like barely ever touch my flamethrower.
Yeah, and I feel like it's hard to use it on enemies because at first it's so short range. You kind of have to get the upgrade that gives you longer range in order to use it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll say the flamethrower came in clutch for me, like against some of the sort of mini-boss enemies. I was just like running out of other ammo. I was like, oh, I guess this is all I got. And it put in work.
Yeah, there was a trophy being like, beat the four optional bosses, and part of me was like, they're optional? What? I was kind of confused by that, and then on my second playthrough, like, if you, like, what is it, outside of the, I forget the guy's name, he's nicknamed the Mole, he's the one who's in charge of the mining digging operations.
Tolman?
Tolman, yeah, right outside his room, there's that giant crate. If you open up the window to the crate, the optional boss stays in there and scares away any other enemies from repopulating the room. So on the second run through, he was kind of my ally. I was like, yeah, good job.
I wish I'd known. I left that other chick in the crate for too long because of that dude. I was like, no, I'm not falling for this one again. But I just left the banging happening.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like a negative a consequence for leaving in there too long. Like, you open it up and she's not breathing.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
No. It was one of those things that, like, it was a mystery on the little mini map. And I'm like, no, I know what the mystery is. I'm not going to solve that. Like, I went and did other things until, you know, you sort of need here for that one bit.
Oh, speaking of that, there was a couple of, like, quote-unquote choices. Like, oh, you could tell the cop where you saw Crow's daughter. I'm guessing those were, like, false choices that act anything at all?
I don't know. I said I saw her.
Yeah, no, same here. I was just wondering, like, part of me in the moment was like, wait, does this lead to a different outcome, a different ending? And then part of me was like, nah. I was just wondering if anybody had that.
I don't know for sure, but I was kind of curious about that too. Like the first guy that you find that he's injured, like you give him a bandage or whatever, and he goes to your car. I went back and checked on him a couple of times because I was like, maybe if I don't check on him, he dies. So maybe I need to like keep an eye on him to get a good ending. But yeah, as far as I know, like none of that actually changes anything. So, but I was like so sure that it might, that there were a couple of things I did that were just kind of like pointless. But I mean,
but
I was
you got an excuse for doing that, for checking on your friend. So I mean, you
the
got
real
some
reward
for it.
There is that.
Well, that and the running shoes are out there, which are very nice. So you have a reason to go back out. The running shoes, they were in the trunk of Crow's car out in the parking lot starting area. They make you run even faster.
If you get you have to get the silver key, which is you need it for the game. But if you go back out to the car, you can unlock his trunk.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it makes running away from enemies a lot easier.
Would have made this a little quicker.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, when I first started the game, I was investigating, you know, everything in the starting area. So I'm, like, looking at the trunk of the car, and it's like, oh, there's a silver keyhole. I'm like, okay, I'll come back to it later. Get the silver key, I go back out to the car. So, yeah, the game, like, not just that, but it definitely requires, like, investigating everything. And then if you look at something that you can't use, you have to remember that it's there.
Yeah, I do wish, maybe I missed it, but like in Resident Evil, when like, you know, you pull up the map, it'll show you like, oh, you tried this door and it's locked. I think the later ones actually have like, you know, you need the club key for it. It would have been nice if you had that instead of just like, here's your map and piece it together as you get more of the map, which is fine. Like, that's like really old school how it was done. It just, with all the other nice touches that the game has to make it playable for like modern audiences, like the snapping to your enemy, and it would have been nice if it could add like, hey, like you were here and this thing is locked.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Javi. I was just going to say, I don't know if y'all played the Prince of Persia game came out this year, but that one was really nice and for a Metroidvania, and where you could put like stickers on the map and be like, oh, this I need this upgrade to come back here later, and you could just, you know, label the map yourself. Something like that would have been nice.
Yeah, I love when it lets you mark up the map yourself to like take your own notes. There's a survival horror like classic it's like a Silent Hill throwback that's in VR called Organ Quarter. And what I love about that game is basically it has the map just like Silent Hill. You have to pull it out and actually like you can look at it while you're walking around, but there's nothing on the map that's moving or updating while you're playing at all. It's just the map as it is. But what you do is like once you get your bearings and you understand kind of where you are, you walk up to different doors and you try to open them, and if they're locked you can pull up the map and you have little stamps and you have a couple of different icons you can pick, and you stamp it. You actually stamp it on the map and you're actively marking it up.
Like, that's cool
for yourself, and that little change is huge. It really makes the game so much more immersive, and you're so much more like hyper aware of where you're standing, you know, in relation to the map. I think that's a huge thing. I love when games do that.
Yeah, I mean That is super cool. I will never play that game. Horror in VR? Thank you.
Yeah.
I just can't. The
fun little thing, the save points in that game are like a fleshy television that you have to like stick your head into to save.
Awesome.
Yeah. Fun.
Ugh. Persona 4. No.
But yeah, no, I think we've talked a lot about the gameplay, and I think Kavi touched on this earlier, but what did you guys think about the music and sound design for the game?
There's like some pickup sound somewhere. I hated that sound. I wish I could have turned it off. It was like grating to me.
Hmm.
I didn't even notice that, but different people, different strokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still have the freaking amusement park theme stuck in my head, like even now. So, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of catchy sounds, and then I feel like it does a good job of setting the mood. So, even if we don't talk about it for long, I just wanted to give props for that, because I felt like it did a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've found, you know, more and more, and I mentioned this when we played Killer 7, that, like, the soundscapes of different video games, like, matter so much to me. Like, just it really sets the whole tone. And I think for what Crow Country was going for, like, it's very effective. I think they did a great job.
Yeah, and in particular for horror games, because, like, I feel like that, like, if you play a horror game with the sound turned off, it's a completely different experience. And I'm sure it's a completely different experience for people who are hearing impaired too. It can still be creepy, but I feel like it just adds another dimension.
Yeah.
The sound is super, super important in, like, doing horror medium well.
Mm-hmm.
It just invokes, like, you know, it invokes dread.
Yes.
But, like, you can do it with visuals as well, but, like, the sound, just this good sound design in a horror game or movie is just, it's needed.
Yeah, that's why Akira Yamaoka is, like, a household name in the gaming space, because, like, he doesn't just do the music for Silent Hill, but, like, the sound effects as well, and, like, sometimes you'll walk into a room and there's just a metal grinding noise, and it's like, what is that? And it's not that anything in the room is metal that's grinding, it's just like the tone they're setting, and like it just creates a sense of dread. It's really good.
But yeah, I mean, like, unless anybody has anything else they wanted to get into, do y'all want to move into final thoughts?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's see. Grace, do you want to start us off?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've pretty much covered everything, but I love that this is, you know, classic to a T survival horror. It's, you know, it takes all its cues from Resident Evil, Silent Hill, that kind of thing. But at the same time, you don't, like, go into this game and feel like you're playing some other game. Like, it has its own distinct little identities.
Yeah.
Mostly through, like, the graphics, like the Final Fantasy VII type, like, fake pre-rendered backgrounds, chunky polygons. Like, I really loved that. Also, like, it's some parts of it are kind of more lighthearted, but other parts, I guess, like, kind of the lack of characters, the interactions with the few that you do run into sometimes seem kind of like funny or just like strange, but then, you know, a completely different character is just like, what's going on here? I probably want to stay away from this person. So it's got a lot of, like the different moods that you run into, or the different moods that it sets, like at any different point in the game, really keeps things fresh and keeps it from getting too just like, oh, you know, I'm going through my routine of walking from this room to the next to solve this puzzle. Like, it really keeps everything fresh through various means, like the music, the sound effects, the characterization, like everything really comes together nicely. So I really enjoyed this game, and I know we've all pretty much, maybe not all of us, but we've all kind of said something similar, like, if you're into survival horror, you'd really like this. If you're not into it, this is a great entry point. So I really like it, and as we've also mentioned, I would love to see some more like this from the same team.
Agreed.
And I can imagine this a game showing up on like Game Pass PlayStation Plus's game catalog at some point. So even if you don't want to buy it at full price, even though I would say it's worth it, I feel like once it pops up on one of those services, a lot more people are going to give it a shot.
I hope so. It deserves
all right.
It.
What about you, Marcus?
Well, I paid full price for it, like a chump. and I think it was
worth
it.
The $2 discount?
No, I didn't. So now I'm one less McDonald's like drink because of that.
Oh no.
Yeah. How will I survive? But you know, it's just sort of echoing everything that's already been said so far. I think it's a really well put together game. The way the puzzles interact and just sort of like they very early on are giving you signposts of like, okay, this is what you're going to do. Like you start to create that idea in your mind of like, this is the path to figuring this out. I got to do this, to do this, to do that. That's going to be important later. Like all of that, it's rewarding for the player that pays attention to their surroundings. Clearly I didn't pay enough attention to my surroundings. I just checked my finish time in this was about 7.5 hours of like actual playing the game. Which is longer than the time to beat, but regardless of that, I think that the length of the game is great. It doesn't overstay its welcome like at all. It's one of those rare games where it's like, yeah, give me more like in this style. I think that the narrative that they set up is something that I'd welcome as, you know, a sequel in it. It doesn't even have to be just like, well, yeah, I just want the devs to make another one, like, you know, something similar to this. Like, no, just make it Crow Country 2. Like, those crows that were eating the infected bodies, maybe they get out and they do some nonsense and, like, start some problems. Like, I don't know. I just think that they put together something special. I think they really understood.
Well, they understood the assignment,
but like they did, they knew exactly what they were trying to make, and they executed on it. Do I want to see the next one in the same style? If it helps it, like, you know, like you were mentioning earlier, Dax, like if it helps the budget for this game, like make sense, and like, you know, that's where the economics of it all like evens out. I'm down for it. Like I don't think that the visuals took away from the experience at all. Like they still, because of the soundscape, because of just sort of the actual gameplay mechanics, like their points delivered to the player and it comes across just fine. So yeah, great game. Probably the best one we'll play this year for Game Club.
Nice.
Yeah, and Marcus, I have some bad news for you.
They shut down already?
No. Marvin Trumbull at the end of the game when he's going all lone gunman on everything in the park, he killed all of the crows.
Oh, really? The surviving crows?
The surviving crows, yeah. I saw their dead bodies. And I was just like, oh my god, he even went after them.
Yeah, but like that...
One could have got away.
Right, exactly. these fuckers fly. Like, they can easily explain that away.
I know. I saw that, and I was just like, "Damn, you've been going after the crows." The guy is very angry. But yeah, I guess just in general, like I said earlier, I'm not into survival horror stuff. But despite that, this was a good entry point for me. I really enjoyed the characters, the setting in general. I think what Marcus said about it being the right length is probably right, but I don't think part of me would have been unhappy if like what is it? They got a construction area for like the future or the Tomorrowland analog. Honestly, if they had something going on at the north point of the map, I wouldn't have objected at all. But otherwise, I feel like really a really good game, and the modern touches made it a lot more approachable for somebody like me. So, yeah. What about you, Hobby?
Kind of just echoing what y'all have already said. This game is like the scope was correct, and you can feel it. Like, this is exactly what they were aiming for, and they kind of nailed it. Yeah, it's just very well made, polished. It's effective at what it's trying to do, and I'm happy that, you know. So the tough thing about when you're recommending these classic survival horror games is like, you got to warn people, like, there's tank controls, it's gonna kind of feel like crap. and you know, don't get frustrated by that. And then, like, you know, the enemies can just kill you pretty easily if you don't, you know, take them out, but also save your ammo and this and that. And I think that this game navigates that well enough to where, like, maybe you don't need to warn people about those caveats. You know, there is no tank controls. The combat is like pretty self-explanatory and effective. There's enough save points, and it's clear that, actually, I'm not sure. I never died. No, I did die. Never mind. Yes. So it does function like those classic games where, like, if you die and you haven't saved, you're screwed, right? You have to start over from scratch, right? So, like, saving is very important, which is not, like, modern games don't do that. Modern games, like, there's a checkpoint pretty close by, like 10 minutes ago or whatever. But so, like, I do appreciate that it kept that, like, because that was what made those old horror games scary. It's like the potential loss of progress if you haven't been saving. So I think Crow Country is really great. I would recommend it to anybody, and I'm very happy to see that so many of you, that it resonated with so many of you. I think that's really exciting. So go check it out.
There are actually tank controls in this game, Hobby. Like, you can switch between tank controls and analog controls on the fly. You just have to use the D-pad. Gives you like an option to back up when you're like shooting an enemy.
Okay. Well, yeah. So when you're not using tank controls, I think Y defaults to the backup button.
Okay. I thought that was exclusive to the tank controls stuff, but regardless, I just wanted to point that out. And gotcha. Chris, cap us off.
Yeah. I mean, not much more to say than what you guys said. It's a really fun game. Nice, like, throwback to early PlayStation survival horror. I think, as Ben said, like, you know, it builds on adventure game bones and adds a little bit of action to it. So it's a, you know, it's a great mix of that. Great entry point for survival horror for those that haven't tried it before or want to get into it. The setting's really cool. Like, just being in an amusement park. I'm with you, Dax. Like, if they would have added in that, like, future area, I would have been perfectly happy with that too, because they, like, realized it really well throughout the rest of it. So, great game, good fun time, scratches the itch.
Cool. And with that, that is our episode on Crow County. And I believe for this next episode, Ben will be choosing our game.
Mm-hmm.
Crow. Yeah, so I keep screwing up the name. Thank you. I thought it was like Crow County, Georgia. Like, that was the name of a county in Georgia. Like, I don't know.
If it's any consolation, I kept mixing them up too. I kept wanting to call it county. So I had my Google, like, search, like, I would search for, you know, Crow Country. And so, it would autofill it. Like, that's the only reason I could keep up with it, because it autofilled country every time.
All right. Ben's typing them into the chat. Dax, you going to read them off for us?
Yeah, sure. So it looks like we've got a platformer theme going on, with our first title being Penny's Big Breakaway, second title being Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus. Then we've got Ape Escape, Solar Ash, and last but not least, Pumpkin Jack.
Yeah, in honor of...
I'm like Googling some of these.
Just coming out. Yeah, in honor of Astrobot just coming out.
Astrobot is so good.
Much fun.
Everybody play Astrobot right now. Support them. Give them, buy it twice.
Like, I'm seriously like contemplating buying like the digital deluxe, like $10 upgrade, just for the sake of just I want to give more money for this game.
More Astrobot, please.
When it's a $60 game, right? So like if you give them the extra 10, you're just going up to the 70 that a normal game costs now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How are we going to play Ape Escape? Is that on PSN?
It's on PS5. Yeah. I don't know if you can play it on PS4 or not.
Oh, I have a PS5. That's fine.
Yeah, I think both Sly and Ape Escape are on PS5 now. You can get them on PSN.
Cool.
So it looks like... Solar Ash is our winner, unless anybody wants to make any last minute Penny's Big Breakaway, like, it looks like it won't win, but that is a very good game that I would recommend. Pumpkin Jack is also a ton of fun.
I liked Pumpkin Jack. I played it at launch, and then it was pretty buggy at launch, and I could not beat the final boss. I fell through the floor, and then the game saved with me in that pit, and I couldn't load up the game anymore. It was just stuck in the pit. Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, now, when I played it a couple of months after launch, it was pretty stable, so.
Yeah, I'm sure it's much better now. It's been a few years.
Where can I play Solar Ash? Mostly because I don't know.
It's on everything.
Yeah, I think it's on Game Pass. Let me check.
It's the Hyperlight Drifter team. I think it's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely on PS4, I think.
And to get Marcus interested in Solar Ash, it's only like 3 or 4 hours long. You can beat it in 3 or 4 hours. I should say that. You can make it longer.
It is on Game Pass.
Yeah, so it's pretty available. So it looks like our next month will be Solar Ash. I actually don't know what type of game it is. I'm gonna guess it's got platformer elements, but yeah
it's a 3D platformer pretty much.
Platformer, but you're like skating, kind of. You're not really skating, but you're moving like that. You're like running super fast. It's cool. Beautiful game.
Fast.
I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really happy that we're playing it.
I'm gonna put that on my Steam deck.
I've been having an excuse to play this game is definitely appreciated. But yeah, so we will return in a couple of weeks with talking about Solar Ash. But for now,
Dax is very ambitious.
A couple. See you guys tomorrow. I'm gonna finish it.
Okay, do you want me to say 2 months?
I mean, a couple months might be a stretch, but. Maybe we'll see in middle October, end of October.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless of how long it takes us to get together to record again, we are playing Solar Ash. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Javi. And thank you, Ben. This has been another episode of VG.
You're welcome.
Thank you, y'all, for listening, and I hope y'all have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.